بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. This is the Ash'ar, the poetry of Arif Billah Nuniya Waqt. Hazrat Mawlana Ash'ar ki Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali is entitled Jalsa-e Qurb-e Mohabbat. Mohabbat mein kabhi aisa zamana bhi guzarta hai زبان خاموش رہتی ہے مگر دل روتا رہتا ہے. اگرچہ راہ تقویٰ میں ہزاروں غم بھی آتے ہیں مگر جو عاشق صادق ہے غم کو سہتا رہتا ہے. صلہ عشق مجازی کا یہ کیسا ہے ارے توبہ کہ عاشق روتے رہتے ہیں سنم خود سوتا رہتا ہے. محبت میں کبھی ایسا زمانہ بھی گزرتا ہے زبان خاموش رہتی ہے مگر دل روتا رہتا ہے. خطاؤں کی اگر آئی ہے دامن پر ذرا سی آئی تو اپنے آنسو سے عشق اس کو دھوتا رہتا ہے. گنہگاروں کی مت تحقیر کر اے زاہد نادا کہ ان کی آہ و زاری پر فلک بھی روتا رہتا ہے. بفیض مرشد کامل جو درد دل ہوا حاصل تو دل پر جلسہ قرب محبت ہوتا رہتا ہے. جو غیروں پر فدا کرتا ہے اپنے قلب و جا اختر بجرم بے وفائی حق سے وہ محروم رہتا ہے. محبت میں کبھی ایسا زمانہ بھی گزرتا ہے زبان خاموش رہتی ہے مگر دل روتا رہتا ہے.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. استوقف Azad Mana Muhammad Hakim Akhtar Sahib Nawar Allahu Man Qadahu. Azad Mana was in ardent love of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Azad Mana is explaining the love of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala that's supposed to be in our hearts. Allah Ta'ala make this a reality in our hearts, inshallah. Azad Mana is explaining that in this part of treading to Allah, towards Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, certain times you have these moments where even though you might be amongst people, your lips are silent, but your heart is crying out. Your heart is crying out, it wants to be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes the heart will realize that, as Mawlana will explain further on, that the connections and relationships that we have in this world is all temporary. And the only relationship that is for everlasting is that relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So sometimes the heart might be crying out that, oh Allah, I want that connection with you. Allahumma kun lana wa ja'alna lak. That, oh Allah, you make me yours and you become mine. And at other times also Hazrat Mawlana is going to explain that you might be fighting the desire to commit any sin. And nobody can see what you're going through. Wait, Hazrat Mawlana has taught us that having the desire for sin is not a problem. Allah Ta'ala created us with the desire to commit sin. But Allah Ta'ala at the same time gave us the ability to resist it. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَهَا. Allah Ta'ala made that where you get desirous to do something. But then at that moment Allah Ta'ala also gave you that recognition to say, that is my Allah. If I do this action, I'm going to make Shaitan happy. I don't want to make Shaitan happy, I want to make Rahman happy. So, sometimes you pass through these moments where your heart is crying out, that, oh Allah, how much must I resist? Oh Allah, you make it easy for me. It's explained that getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes you have to be like the pressure cooker. Outside the pot looks fine, but inside what's boiling there, you can't really see it. You can hear it, but you can't see it. So that Mawlana is saying that sometimes your lips will be quiet, but your heart inside is boiling now. Your heart now is getting cut into pieces because you don't want to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that Mawlana is explaining that how this connection is, that even though you might be going through some difficulties in your life, and sometimes Allah Ta'ala put us in difficulties because Allah Ta'ala wants us to get closer to Him. We're going off track. We're going on the wrong highway. So Allah Ta'ala just makes a detour for you so that you come back to Allah. So Hazrat Mawlana is explaining that certain times you'll be in some calamity, you'll be in some difficulty, you'll be in some problem. But although you in that problem and you have all that worries in front of you, you'll know at the end my solution is only at Allah Ta'ala's doorstep. Now, where ulama explain, when you sit in an aeroplane, you don't know who's the pilot. You don't go ask him, let me see your qualification. But you'll say, no, this person, he was put here, he'll be able to take me from point A to point B. You sit in a ship, you don't go look for who's the captain. But you trust him. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tabaraka alladhi ja'ala fi as-samaa'i burujan wa ja'ala fiha sirajan wa qamaran munira. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who created the entire universe. Not one day you see the sun is going off track. 1,000th of a millimeter off track. Everything is moving in proportion. Everything is moving in its orbit. Do you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgot about you? So when you go in any, when you're in any difficulty, then your solution is in turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Hazrat Mawlana is explaining that the true relationship with Allah ta'ala is that even though you're in any difficulty, you realize that my life is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and everything will come right. Then Hazrat Mawlana is explaining the difference between this relationship. Everybody understands love. But the love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the love with human beings is a different kind of relationship. So Hazrat Mawlana is drawing attention to that and he says that this relationship of fake love, infatuation, what happens is a person, he is crying the whole night because maybe he told his lover something wrong and the lover is upset. And now he is crying himself, tears, not entrana, crying that my beloved is angry with me. And the other person is fast asleep. You wasting your time crying, your tears. It's not even seeing, it's not even being witnessed. So what's the use? But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the minute you take one step to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's as if Allah ta'ala says, I was waiting for you to come towards me. Take 10 steps towards you. You come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala walking, Allah ta'ala comes to you running. Understanding of the hadith means that Allah Ta'ala is waiting for you to come to Him. Just looking for an excuse to say, that is my banda. وَيَهْدِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ يُنِيبُ. That I've been waiting for you, my banda. Where were you lost? Come, let me take you. فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. حجم أختار ساب نوغ الله من قدره وتقول بيان on the steps run towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means run towards the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're not running away from Allah ta'ala out of fear, that like how you run away from a lion or you run away from an enemy. But when you're in any difficulty, when you do something wrong also, your solution is only to run back to Allah. فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. Go towards Allah, He's waiting for you to turn back to Him. Then Allah Ta'ala is saying that in this relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, certain times you're going to make mistakes. كُلٌّ بَنِي آدَمَ خَطَّوْنَ. Every person is a sinner. You're going to make mistakes. And your mind will bring this to you that I want to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but look what I done now. I say I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but now I got involved in this sin, and I got involved. I'm not doing what I'm saying. And shaitan will put these thoughts in your mind, that you will say you're close to Allah, but look what you are doing. You are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Hazrat Mana is explaining that if by chance you try your best to stay away from sin, Hazrat Mana explained to us many a times that tawbah is like that ointment you use when you get burnt. If somebody creates this ointment and says that if you burn it will restore your skin, it can be third degree burns, they'll restore your skin back to better than how it was. No person in his sensible mind will say, no, let me put my hand in a fire, let me try this ointment. But if by chance you burn, then you use the ointment. So you try your utmost best to stay away from sin. And if by chance you do commit the sin, then Allah Ta'ala made it easy. All you have to say, oh Allah, forgive me. خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. Oh Allah, he's been created weak, Allah. Oh Allah, please forgive me. Show me your mercy. So the Mana is saying, give an example of a person, example wearing a white kurta. And that kurta is shining clean. And some speck of dirt, some black dot, some ink falls on the kurta. Then a person will take, example, soap or some detergent and try to wash away that sin, or they wash away that stain on his kurta. So the man is saying that if by chance you make any sin, then the detergent to wash away that sin is your tears in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, oh Allah, you forgive me. Sincerely from the bottom of my heart, oh Allah, I'm asking you for forgiveness. Then Hazrat Mana further explains that sometimes now, shaitan now will bring this other picture in front of you. That me, I'm good. I'm staying away from sin. But look at that person. That person is involved in sin. I'm better than him. Where we look at it as in the terms of ujab, or a person has a certain type of self-pride, that I'm better than him. He's involved in sin. I'm safe from sin. So the Mana is saying that if by chance you see anybody committing a sin, then they also don't think high of yourself. Because you don't know what is that person's relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Possibly he is making that sin, and Allah ta'ala gives him tawfiq to make tawbah. And he makes such a tawbah that the angels, the sky and the, the seven earths and the seven skies, they even look at this person and say, look at how you are turning back to Allah. You are getting close to Allah. It's as if we are shy of your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Hazrat Mana is saying that if you see somebody in sin, then don't look down on him. Looking down on him, ulama explain that if you see a person committing sin, and you look down at that person, and that person made sincere tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ill effect of you looking down on him, before you pass away, you yourself, Allah ta'ala, protect us all inshallah. The ill effect of looking down on him before you pass away, you will get involved in that sin. Somehow or the other, you will be involved in that sin. So if by chance you see anybody committing sin, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Mana was explaining the other day, Alhamdulillah alladhi afani mimma btalahu bihi. That, oh Allah, you saved me from committing that sin. It's only out of your sheer mercy that he committed the sin and I never committed the sin. Oh Allah, I could have committed a worse sin and that out of your mercy you saved me. So if by chance you see a person committing a sin, then immediately turn back to Allah. That, oh Allah, you saved me from doing that. And don't look down at any person, because you do not know what is that person's relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The another mana is saying, what is the easiest way to build this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? To get this realization when you commit the sin that I need to turn back to Allah, to understand this relationship of what is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another mana is saying the only, or one of the only ways of getting this is to be in the companionship of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You join yourself up to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, automatically the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will rub onto you. The famous example is given, you go into a perfume shop. You don't buy anything, but you just walk into the shop and stay there for a short period and you come out. Your clothes, your body gets the smell of that itar. You stay in the company of the Ahlullah. That will automatically rub off onto you. Another mana is saying that when this happens and you align yourself with the true lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you'll experience these moments of close proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where you can be in sajda and automatically the tears just fall out from your eyes. That you realize that now I'm in front of Allah. And a Muslim, a believer, the closest he is to Allah is when his head is in sajda. Allah granted me the tawfiq to put my head in sajda. And automatically the tears will just fall from a person. Or a person will get tawfiq to make dua. And in dua now you realize that I'm talking to my Allah. Or he gets tawfiq to read Quran. And then he understands that my Allah is talking to me. And naturally the tears will just fall down the person's face. This happens when you get that connection with the true Ahlullah. Then another mana ends off and he says that, understand this, that those people who give themselves over for the fake love, for ghayrullah, for this infatuation, then what happens? They get rewarded. What reward they get? They get rewarded with bare wafai. That the person now is not faithful to him. He gets rewarded with unfaithfulness. So he'll do whatever he wants, try his best to make this person happy. But the end of it all, this temporary love is going to end somewhere. Allah Ta'ala save us from haram relationships. Allah Ta'ala save us from these connections that fill our heart more than the love that we're supposed to have for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Hazrat Mawlana is saying that once you get involved in this, then the only reward you're going to get at the end of the day is unfaithfulness. So rather don't get involved in this type of relationship and get connected to that being Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is everlasting. His love will last in this world, in the qabr, in the akhirah. Allah Ta'ala grant us such love and such proximity with Him, and let it increase day by day from now till we in the qabr, till the day of qiyamah, and into Jannah inshaAllah. Wa akhir da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. In the chapter on nikah, getting married, in this chapter Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullah in the beginning has mentioned the importance of marriage and the benefits of marriage when a person gets married, and the type of wife a person must get married to, those women who are loving and produce children in abundance, because on the day of Qiyamah I want to vie with other ummah and be proud of your numbers. And thereafter, Hazrat Thani rahmatullah says, to abstain from marriage, a person is depriving himself of all of these great benefits. Then he explained that there are rights which the husband has to fulfill of the wife, and has to look after her carefully, must not be too harsh with her, etc. Fulfill her monetary rights and her dini rights also, and especially the masail of parada, etc. is amongst the rights of the husband. And then now Hazrat says that some rights of the husband will now be mentioned. And very high level Allah has given the husband, if making sajda for anyone was permissible, and I told anyone to make sajda for another, I would have commanded the wife to make sajda for the husband. So from here we can understand the right of the husband. Thereafter Hazrat mentions, the foregoing narrations clearly illustrate the great significance and importance which Islam attaches to the institution of nikah. Monasticism is not part of Islam. Nikah is a spiritual guard as well as a worldly guard. All Muslims have therefore to enter into the nikah bond if there is no impediment. However, if there exists valid shari reasons for being
for abstaining from nikah, one will not be blameworthy. Exceptions have been mentioned in the hadith. Those who are not able to discharge the rights of marriage are not under obligation to marry. Once a man brought his daughter to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but she refused to get married. Upon inquiring from her the reason for her refusal, she explained her case and said she will never marry. Since she was certain she would not be able to fulfill the rights of her husband, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not compel her to marry. If a widow feels that in marrying again, her children's life will be wrecked, then she is not under obligation to marry. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam praised such a woman and mentioned great rewards for her in the year after because of her sacrifice for the sake of her children. In the interest of her orphan children, she abstained from marriage. Yahya ibn Waqid radiallahu anhu narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, referring to future times of fitna, said, "At that time I prefer for my ummah remaining single unmarried, and I prefer for them disassociation from relationships with people, and I prefer for them living on mountain peaks. I grant them permission for this at such times of fitna." Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu and Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "There will dawn a time over people when the destruction of a man will be at the hands of his wife, parents and children. They will humiliate him because of his poverty and will make such demands which will induce him to engage in such activities to gain more money, which will finally destroy his deen. If marriage will constitute a danger to one's iman and deen, then abstention therefrom will be allowed because the reason is valid in the Sharia. However, there are also certain people who are like drones. They are merely lacking in determination and effort. They rely on others for their needs. Regarding such people, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, 5 types of people will enter the fire. Among the 5 mentioned in this hadith, one is a man who is weak in resolve. He has no understanding of the deen. He is a burden on others. He has neither wife nor children, and he does not earn his living. He lives like a drone. Note, children too have rights and hukuk. If parents discharge the rights of their offspring correctly, they will become more obedient and useful. The deeni rights which children have over their parents have already been explained in chapter 2 and chapter 3. Their worldly rights consist of training them in such ways and means which will enable them to achieve comfort and worldly benefit. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Teach your sons swimming and archery, and teach your daughters sewing." The activities mentioned in this hadith are by way of example. All worldly activities of necessity come within the scope of this hadith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to make amal.